Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Yod Daled, and we will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom. Neima de Rav Menashe Bagado Tanoihi. At the end of the shiur yesterday, we discussed the concept of Yodos. Yodos is the stem or the handle of a food, of grapes, we spoke about, of the kernels, of the sheaths, of tevuah, and we discussed Rav Menashe Bagado teaching us that if someone cuts for schach, there's no concept of yodos. And as we learned in the Gemara, everybody agrees, Rav Abba said, that if one is cutting grapes in order to squeeze those grapes to make wine, that the stems of the grapes are certainly not considered yodos, because no one is interested in those stems. They're not something we want to have in the wine. The question there was if somebody cuts grain to use it for schach, will there be a concept of yodos? Which Rav Menashe said there won't be, because we don't want the yodos. And Rav Abba says that there will be yodos. Says the Gemara, Neima, perhaps, the Rav Menashe Bagado, this din, the Rav Menashe Bagado, says that there are no yodos when cutting grain for schach, tanaihi, is actually a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, we learned in a braisa, soche tanim, or ben tanim, fig branches with figs in them, pachilim behem anovim, vines with grapes on them, kushin, straw, or behen shabalim with ear of grains in them, mechbedos, brooms or palms, or behem tamarim, and with them are dates, kulon, and all of these different materials that we mentioned, impsoilus meruba ala oichlin, if there's more psoilus, which is the part which is kosher schach, more than the food, which as we know is not kosher schach, kshera, those items are considered kosher. Vimlav, but if not, if there's more oichel than psoilus, then psulim than the apostle for schach. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim. When we say that there's more psoilus than oichel, it's kosher for schach. What will be the situation that there's more psoilus than oichel, but we still need the oichel, because if we don't have the oichel, we'll have a situation of chamsa meruba mitzilsa. The Meiri says that we have to have enough psoilus to achieve tzilsa meruba mechamsa, otherwise, even though there's more psoilus than oichel, it will be disqualified. The Michtam, however, disagrees and says, as the Brisa seems to indicate, once we have more psoilus than oichel, it's kosher for schach under all circumstances. Dar Sameach also discusses if that the only time the psoilus has the ability to mevatel the oichel is where I don't really care about the oichel. But if the person wants the oichel, then the psoilus does not have the ability to mevatel the oichel. Tosfos asks, isn't the fact that the person put this oichel and used it for schach the best proof that this person doesn't consider this oichel an oichel? Because why would somebody put food on the top of his sukkah if he wants to use it as food? So the Chazanish explains that since sukkah is only 7 days, and the person puts it on top of the sukkah, that's not considered that he makes it, that it should lose the status of oichel. Another Teres Taisvah says is that since when the person put it on the top of the sukkah, at that point it was still an oichel. It's only after it's left on top of the sukkah does it lose its status of being an oichel. But since when it was put down on the sukkah, it was disqualified as an oichel, we have here a situation of tassav loy menasu. Continues the braisa, acherim oimrim, acherim go a step further, and they'd say that in order for these materials to be considered valid sakach, we have to have a situation that shekoshim rubim ala yodas vol oichlan, that there has to be more straw, not just more than the food, but than the yodas also. Says the Gemara, my laba hokimavki, isn't the basis of the machlokes between the rabbanan and the acherim the mass of a yeshlan yodas? The acherim hold that sakach has yodas, which are considered like the oichel, and therefore we have to be mevatel them also. Or mass of the Tanakhama holds Einlan Yodos, which, as we explained, is actually the machloikis of Rab Abba and Rab Menashe Bagoda. Says the Gemara, Rab Abba, according to Rab Abba, Vade Tanoihi, there's certainly a machloikis Tanoim, Rab Abba, who holds that Tzchach has Yodos, will have to be saying his Shita only according to the Acherim, not according to the Tanakhama. However, asked the Gemara, L'Rav Menashe Bagoda Leima Tanoihi, do we have to say according to Rav Menashe Bagoda that there's Machlokes Tanoim? Because certainly Rav Menashe Bagoda's Shita conforms with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama obviously doesn't hold that there's a situation of Yodos here, as does Rav Menashe Bagoda. The question is there any way to reconcile the Shita of Rav Menashe Bagoda with the Shita of Acherim? Omlach Rav Menashe, says Rav Menashe, the Kulei Amli Savri, everybody's going to agree that a koitz l'schach, if this grain was cut with the intention that it should be used for schach, ein lehen yodois, that there are no yodois, for hocha, in the situation that the Tanakhama and the Acherim are disagreeing, b'may eskinen, kigon shekotzen l'achila, when the grain was originally cut, it was cut in order to be eaten, and then only afterwards, v'nimlech aleim l'sichach, he changed his mind and decided to use it for schach. Ask the Gemara, ikotzen l'achila, if the Bryce is discussing a situation where they were specifically cut to be eaten, maitamai d'rabonin, so how could Rabbanan say that there is no concept of Yodos? V'chi teima, will you perhaps say, k'savi Rabbanan, Rabbanan hold, k'even the nimlech aleim l'sichach, since the person reconsidered and decided to use the maschach, but le'machshavtoi, his original intention to use it as food, and therefore these items became Yodos, falls away? Ask the Gemara, or mi'bat le'machshav b'hochi, can a tumah designation be mevutal, become negated this way? But tonight, we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Kalim, Kol HaKalim Yordan L'day Tumah B'machshava. We know that Kalim, utensils, are Makabel Tumah. When is an item considered a utensil? Says the Mishnah Masech the Kalim, Machshava, when I decided that that's what I want to do with this item. For example, if one has a piece of leather that could be formed into a shoe or could be used as a piece of leather, as a mat, if the person decided that he wants to use this piece of leather as a mat, so now that I have the piece of leather, it's considered a keli, it's considered a utensil, and therefore it is mekabel tuma, it becomes susceptible for tuma. However, they cannot lose that status el b'shina maisa through a physical change, because maisa, a physical act, has the ability of moitzi midei maisa or midei machshava to undo a previous machshava or even a previous act. However, machshava of machshava alone, ena moitzi, does not have the ability to negate not a previous act and not even a previous machshava. So if what happened here was that the person originally decided that he's going to be using these yodos for food, just because he changed his mind, it doesn't lose its status. And the Mefarshim explain that since we see that the machshava has the ability to make something be considered a keli, that it should be susceptible to tumah, so it's a very significant machshava. It's a very significant act in halacha. And therefore, a mere machshava cannot undo it. The Tosfos Yontif says that when we speak here of machshava, we're speaking about a machshava that's verbalized, that's articulated. A machshava that's not articulated is not considered a machshava. So we're back to where we started. How, if this was originally cut for oichel, even the Tana Kama should agree that the yodos of the schach should have a din of oichel. V'chitem, perhaps you'll say, ha'ani mili kelim d'chshivi. Where is there this concept that a machshava cannot undo a previous machshava on the actual keli? However, ava yodos, something which is only a yad, which entire purpose is only l'tzarech achila ninu, it's only for helping us eat the food, and it's not that significant. Therefore, machshava nasa, a machshava can make it into a yad, but a machshava also has the ability of salka, of undoing it. Ask the Mara, that's not true. Because v'atnan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Uktzin, ka yadis ha'oichlin, all the yadis, shebasasam begayrin, and we'll discuss the word basasam, tahiris. Become tamar, they're no longer susceptible to tamar. Rav Yosi metamar. Rav Yosi says they don't lose that status. So Bishlam lemanda omer, according to the manda omer, who we will soon identify, that holds that basasan means hutter ogdom, that he just untied the binding, untied these sheaves that are together, shaper. So we see taka, that since these items are only yodos, they don't require a physical change. Just untying, which doesn't really physically change the yodos, is adequate to make them lose that status. So we could say here too, that even though these sheaves were originally cut to be used as schach, the machshava to be used as oichel, the machshava to use them as chsach, has the ability to change the status. However, lamanda omer, that says my bossason. What's the taicha bossason? Bossason mamish that he actually crushed the straw. So we see that for something to lose the status, it has to be actually physically changed. My ikalamema. So how can we understand this brisa? We can't explain that the brisa is discussing a situation where we began with the intention to use it for food and then just reconsidered and decided to use for schach, and that should be enough. That it should no longer have the status of yodos. So why did Chacham not hold them as yodos? Says the Gemara, Hachinami, we will have to say that the Braisa is discussing a situation, Shabbos son mamish, that he actually crushed the yodos, and that's why they're no longer considered yodos. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the situation that the Braisa is referring to, then we have a question, my tamayda achirim, why do achirim still consider them yodos? Answers the Gemara, the omek Reb Yosi, because they hold like Reb Yosi. That nan, Reb Yosi, matama, Reb Yosi holds, even when they were actually crushed, they still retain the status of yodos. Ask the Gemara, hi mai, how can we compare the situation that we're discussing to the situation of Reb Yosi? Bishlam hasam tamad the Reb Yosi, in the case of the Mishnah, we were dealing with straw that was crushed. Rabbi Yossi holds that even though they were crushed, they still retained the status of yodos, because chazi l'chad Rav Shimon ben Lakish, they still could be used as Rav Shimon ben Lakish explains. Dam Rav Shimon ben Lakish, hoyim v'ruyas l'hoivchem v'asar. The straw continues to serve as a handle because it's suitable for enabling us to turn over the grain with a pitchfork. Elahacha, but in the case of the stem, that not one originally cut down this grain to eat, and now he wants to use as a schach, what is the stem suitable for? Answers the Gemara, Chazia, it's usable, l'chisaser, that if one takes apart the sukkah, l'minkalai begalayu, he could hold the grain by grasping the straw, and therefore they still remain usable, and even crushing alone will not make them lose the status of yodos. Gufa, says the Gemara, and actually Rashi says a very interesting comment. He says, generally, when the Gemara uses the word Gufa, it introduces something said by the Tanoim, something said by Maroim to explain a Gemishna, a Braisa. Here, the Gemara is using the word Gufa to introduce something said by a Maroim. Says Rashi, since these Mishnais that we just quoted are Mishnais in Seder Taharis, for which there is no Gemara, We therefore, says Rashi, wherever the Shas mentions these Gemaras, that becomes the Gemara for say the Taharis, and the word Gufa is appropriate. Gufa. Kol Yadosh Ha'Oichlin. All Yadosh Shebosson Begoyrin that were crushed in the threshing floor, Taharis. My Bosson. What is the definition of Bosson? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Bosson Mamish that they were actually crushed. Rabbi Elazar Omer Hitter Oidon if they were untied. Says the Gemara, Bishlamilar Belazar Dom Bosson Hitter Oidon. A quarter of Belazar that says Bosson means that he was just untied. Hainanim Tam Rabbi Yossi. I can understand why Rabbi Yossi says that they still are Yodais and they still are Tamei. Because untying them doesn't really cause a physical change. However, asked the Gemara El Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Bosso Mamish, who says that they were actually crushed, Amay Matame Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi consider them still Yodais, and they're still Matame? They weren't they crushed? Says the Gemara, as we just learned, Amram Shem Belakish, Hoya Veroyas Lehovchas Basar. Since they're still useful in when we need to turn over the straw with a pitchfork. The Mefarshim asked a very fundamental question. We will learn in Mitzvah Shem in the next shiur that the halacha is that if one has a garment, and a garment is obviously not kosher for schach because a garment is mekabel tumah, but a garment is only mekabel tumah when it has a certain size, when it's more than 3 tefachim. If one were to take a piece of material and cut it down to a size less than 3 tefachim, so it's not mekabel tumah. Yet the Gemara will teach us that that type of material remains disqualified to be used as schach. Ask the Mefarshim, why over there, when the material is cut down, does it remain disqualified? And in our Gemara, when we crush the yadais to a knot, they become qualified to be used as schach. So some Mefarshim, Daruch Lener, wants to explain that it's when you crush a yad, it's very obvious that you crushed it. It's not what it was originally. And therefore, it's no longer disqualified for schach. However, when you cut a piece of material, it's not easily discernible that it's no longer the right size, and therefore, it remains disqualified. However, the Machzav Avram says there's a fundamental difference between yadois and the leftovers of material. Something that comes from a leftover material, we started with something that was inherently a keli, inherently a garment. And therefore, even when they lose that status, remain disqualified for schach. However, when we're dealing with the yodos of the grain, which wasn't something that which is inherently disqualified, it was only because it was an extension of the grain, therefore, when it's physically crushed, they are no longer disqualified. Says the Sfas Emes, interesting Vart. When will we say that if the Yadais are crushed, they are no longer considered Yadais? Says if they were never used as Yadais. They were designated as Yadais of a food, but they were never actually used as Yadais of food. However, says the Sfas Emes, if these Yadais weren't just merely designated to be used as extension of the Eichel, the handle of the Eichel. They were actually used as the Yadais of the Eichel, says the Sfas Emes, the halacha will be that they are indeed disqualified permanently, even if they were crushed. Says the Gemara, Amar Abelazar, Laman nimshal tefilasin shal tzadikim kasar, why did feel of a tzaddikim compared to a pitchfork, Laimelach to teach us. Ma asar ze, mahapech za tfuo migoyrin. Just like the pitchfork turns over the grain in the threshing floor, mimakam from one place to another place, at philosophy tzaddikim, so to the feel of the tzaddikim, mahapech as datish al kodesh baruchu, has the ability to change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude, mimidas achzarius, from being midas adin, mimidas arachmanus, to midas arachman. And the Mashal explains that in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads the world with a combination of Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin, and the Tefillah has the ability to take out the Midas HaDin from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And says the Mashal, in fact, where do we find this terminology regarding Tefillah? We find it by Yitzchak. The pasuk says v'yeser Yitzchak, and since Yitzchak was the midah represented midas hadin, that's why the word eser is most appropriate to the tefillah of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak asked Hashem to remove the midas hadin. When learning this Gemara, there's a fundamental question: if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do something, how do we have a right to be mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should change his mind, so to speak? So the Michas HaLozer explains that that is actually what the Gemara is coming to answer. He says that what is the point of a pitchfork? The point of a pitchfork is to take the straw, to take the grain that was in one place and move it to another place. Because the grain was never permanent in the first place to start off with. Says the Michas HaLozer, the same with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. If Chas V'Shalom, something bad happens to a person, it was never HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent that it should remain that way permanently. It's like the hay. It should be moved away through the Yasar, through the Tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remove all of our tzaras. And I saw a very beautiful mashal. The mashal, two mashalim actually. There was once a Jew, Reuven, walking along the street, and he sees how Shimon is hitting Levi. So Reuven, for no reason, so Reuven immediately tells Shimon, please stop hitting Levi. So if Reuven, and Shimon doesn't stop. So if Reuven is not a very kind person, he'll walk further. He did his. If Reuven really cares, he'll do everything in his ability to stop Shimon from hitting Levi for no reason. Similarly here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if something bad happens to a person because he hasn't acted appropriately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that to continue. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that the person is not acting properly, he brings on him punishment in order that the person should not continue, so to speak, on that way. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from the person? He wants from the person to be mispalel, to do tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the tzaras, Rachman Litzlan, just for that purpose. I saw the Sfarim give one more mashal. They say the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in this world is like an outlet for electricity. If one plugs in an air conditioner into that outlet, it will blow cold air. And if one plugs in a heater, it will blow hot air. Similarly, according to the way we act, that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts towards us. He could blow rachmim, he could blow din. According to our tefillah, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts. Says the Mishnah, Mesachim and Nesarim, we can cover a sukkah with boards. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Remeya Oyser, Remeya holds, we're not allowed to. And as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, there's Xeris Tikra, when using boards, certain type of boards, as we will describe in the Gemara, there's a concern that it may look like a regular roof. But the Rishonim ask, why does the Mishnah use the word Remeya Oyser? It should say Remeya Paisel. So the Mefarshim answer. One answer is given is that this Isser is only Midrabbanan, so that's why we don't want to use the word Pasul. The Mishnah wanted to use the word Isser. Another answer given is that when Chazal said, according to Rameya, we're not allowed to use these boards, or certain boards, as we will describe in the Gemara, there are Rishonim that explain that the Isser is not an Isser Cheftza. It's not that the board is inherently disqualified. Chazal did not want us to use for our sukkahs these kind of boards in order that we should not make a mistake in thinking that we could eat inside the house. So since it's an Issa Gavra, not an Issa Cheftza, that's why we use the word Iser, that's why the Tana used the word Iser rather than Paisa. The Pnei Yeshua says the reason the Mishnah used the word Iser is to show how strict Rameya is. That even if it's one board that's on that sukkah, under that one board, one will not be allowed to sit, as we will learn in a moment. Nosan la nasashu abit fachim, if one put a board that's 4 tefachim wide, shera, the sukkah remains kosher. Uvach la yishin tachta, you're not allowed to sleep under that board, because that area is disqualified. And this is all seen in diagram 72 on page 24 and diagram 73. The Rishonim ask, if we want to say that under this board it's not considered a sukkah, why do we speak about sleeping versus all other acts that are done in the sukkah? So the Ritva explains, eating under certain circumstances may be done chutz l'sukkah if it's not achilas kva. However, sleeping, as we will learn later in the Masechta, may never be done outside of the sukkah. That's why the Mishnah used sleeping as the model of something that may not be done in an area which is not a kosher sukkah. Amar Rav, says Rav, Machloikis, the Machloikis between Rameyer and Yehuda is Binasarm Shesh Ben Arva, with boards that are 4 tefachim wide. Rameyer is like Zeres Tikra. Rameyer is concerned that somebody will use such board, he may end up using regular roof of a house. Yehuda less like Zeres Tikra. Yehuda doesn't subscribe to that Gezerah. Avim Sam Shaman Arba, if the boards aren't 4 tefachim wide, the Reakok Sher all will agree that they're acceptable. The Shmuel Amar, Bishaim Arba Machlekis. The Machlekis is when the boards are not 4 tefachim wide. Aval Yesh Ben Arba, if the boards are 4 tefachim wide, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that such boards are disqualified. Ask the Gemara, Ein Ben Arba, if they're not 4 tefachim wide, Vafilu Pachs Mishloisha, even if they're less than 3 tefachim wide, Hakana Ba'amu Hunanu, then they're just sticks. So, if that's the case, how could Rameyah say that they're disqualified? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa Hachikama. This is the way to understand Shmuel. Yesh ben Arba, if the boards are 4 tefachim wide, the Rakapsula, everybody will agree that they're disqualified. Pachs Mishloish, if they're less than 3 tefachim wide, the Rakapsula, everybody will agree that they are kosher schach. My Tama, Kana Ba'almanu, they're just sticks. Ki Pligi, Mishloish Ve'ar Arba. The Machlaikis is on boards that are between 3 and 4 tefachim wide. Mar Sava, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kivin the less than Shir Mokon, since they're that significant, because they're less than 4 tefachim wide, Loigas Rinan, we don't have Xeris Tikra, or Mar Sava, and Rameya holds, Kivin the Nafkal and Mataris Lovud, since they're more than 3 tefachim wide, and they're no longer considered Lovud, Gazrinan, we have the Xeris Tikra. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Nasalanasa Shu Arbat Fachim, if one put on the sukkah board, that's 4 tefachim wide, Kshera, the sukkah could remain kosher. However, Vlach Loishin Tachtav, you're not allowed to sleep under this board. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Lishmul, according to Shmuel the Omar, who explained, Bishayim Be'emar Machloikis, that the Machloikis between Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to the situation where the board is less than 4 tefachim wide. However, Aval Yesh Ben Arba to Arba, if the board is 4 tefachim wide, the Reakal Psula, everybody will agree that the Sukkah disqualified. That's why our Mishnah can make a blanket statement that under that board, which is 4 tefachim wide, one may not sleep. However, ask the Gemara, El Rav Dom Vishesh Ben Arba Machlaikis. The Machlaikis is even when they're 4 tefachim wide. Aval Ein Ben Arba to Reakal Kshayro, because when it's less than 4 tefachim, everybody will agree that it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's 4 tefachim wide, it's still fine. So Maila Yishin Tachtov, why may one not sleep under this board? Says the Gemara, Misavad Reakal Hi. What makes you say that this last statement made by the Mishnah is going according to both Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda? Sefer, this last statement, according to way Rav explains the Machlokes Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda, also Rameyer is only going according to Rameyer. So Gemara again will now attempt a proof to see the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel who is correct. Just to review, 3 halachas that we've already learned. 1 halacha is, which is not really relevant to our shiur today, is that open space in a sukkah disqualifies the sukkah with 3 tefachim. Another halacha is, pasul schach, in the middle of the sukkah is possible with four tefachim. And then there's a third halacha, that if at the side of the sukkah, on the side of the roof of the sukkah, there's possible schach. If there's less than four amis of possible schach, the sukkah could still be kosher, because we have the concept of doifen akuma. Toshma. The Braisa says, Shnei sadinen, two sheets, mitzdarfen could combine to make the sukkah possible, as is shown in diagram 74. Shnei nesarim, but two boards, a mitzdarfen, do not combine to disqualify the sukkah. Remeya says, af nesarim kesadinim, we treat boards like we treat sheets. Just like sheets combine, so two boards combine. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'shmul, according to Shmuel, Dom b'she'en ben arba machloikis, that the machloikis between Remeya and Rabbi Yehuda is when there isn't four tefachim. Aval yesh ben arba, if there's four tefachim in this board, the v'hakel psula, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, that's disqualified as schach. My mitzdarfim, so what does Remeya mean when he uses the words that boards, when he says that boards combine? Mitzdarfim l'arba, they could combine for four tefachim. Meaning, according to Remeya, according to Shmuel's explanation, if we have a board that's three tefachim wide, it's disqualified schach. But three tefachim of disqualified schach do not disqualify a sukkah. For as we said a moment ago, four tefachim of disqualified schach disqualify a sukkah. And therefore, says Remeya, that if we'll have two boards that are, let's say, each three tefachim, they will combine, because now I have six tefachim of disqualified schach, and the sukkah will be disqualified. And that's what the Brice is teaching us. However, asked the Gemara, El Rav, the Ambishesh ben Abba Machloikis, that the Machloikis are made to a situation where there's four tefachim. Avel ain't ben arba, but if the boards aren't four tefachim wide, says Rav, Divrei Hakel Ksheri, even Remeya will hold that such a sukkah is kosher. Hechidami. So let's understand this situation that the Brice is referring to. Ida isba arba, if this board is four tefachim wide, Lamlitz derufa, what do I need combination? Four tefachim of apostle schach, we said, disqualifies a sukkah. Ida lesba arba, but if it doesn't have four tefachim with, amai. So why would it disqualify the sukkah? Didn't we just say that according to Rav, even Remeya agrees, kodem almaninu, they're just mere sticks that don't disqualify a sukkah? Says the Gemara Loyalam Despa Arba. The Brice is referring to a situation that the stick, that the boards are four tefachim wide. But we're not, and when we speak about mitzdarfim, mitzdarfim la'aba amas minatzad, that we said that when the disqualified sukkah is on the side of the roof, as is shown in diagram 75, we could say doifen akuma, as long as the possible schach is less than dalar amas. Says Remeya that these boards that are four tefachim wide combine, that if we'll have more than four amas of such boards, we will not be able to say doifen akuma. And Yehuda says Rav, and that's what the Brisa says, since he holds that boards that are four tefachim wide are not posel schach, so they could be there and there's no issue of mitzdarfin. Lishnachrina, another version of understanding this Brisa. Bishlam l'shmul dam b'she'en ben arba machloikas, according to Shmuel that says when there's no four tefachim, when the boards aren't four tefachim, there's machloikas. If the boards are four tefachim wide, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that such boards are disqualified. My mitzdarfim, what does it mean that they combine? Mitzdarfim l'arba amas minatzad. They combine, as we just described. Remeya holds they combine for to have four amas of posel schach and not be able to say doifen akuma. But now we have a question. If we're speaking here about boards that are four tefachim wide, and if we're saying, as Shmuel says, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that boards that are four tefachim wide are posel, so why does Rabbi Yehuda hold aim at starfim, that such boards don't combine to not let us say doifen akuma? Rabbi Yehuda agrees that this is posel schach, so it should combine to prevent us from saying doifen akuma. says the Maram, that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that boards that are 4 tefachim wide are possible, he still holds they do not combine to disqualify the sukkah for Daif and Akuma. Because he says that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that these boards, even when they're 4 tefachim wide, are inherently possible. It's only because of Xeris Tikra, and therefore they do not combine to prevent us from saying Daif and Akuma. El Rav, but according to Rav's explanation of the Machalikus Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, Bishlam Ramei, according to Ramei, Mai Mitzdarfim, how do we explain Mitzdarfim? As we said before, Mitzdarfim Labamus Mitzad, these boards that are four amos wide, combined to prevent us from saying Daif and Akuma. El Rabbi Yehuda Dama Fili Yesh Ben Arbik Sheira, according to Yehuda, that even if the boards are 4 tefachim wide, they're 100% acceptable schach. My aim is starf. What pshat they don't combine? What's combining? It's kosher schach. Konu ba'almaninu. What's the issue of combination? Says the Gemara. I did come Ramei Mitzdarfin. Since Ramei says they do combine to prevent us from saying Daif and Akuma, so Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite on Rabbi Yehuda, Ei Mitzdarfin. But actually, there really is no chiddush according to Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara. Tanya Kavasi Darav. There's a braisa that corroborates Rav Shita, and Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel, there's a brayta that corroborates Shmuel Shita. Tanya Kavasa de Rad, Sicha ben Nisarim shel Eres, if somebody covered a sukkah with wood boards, She'en ben Arba, aren't 4 tefachim wide, Devar Hakol Kshera, everybody agrees that such a sukkah is kosher. Yesh ben Arba, when there's 4 tefachim, it's Rameya that holds Paisel, Yehuda Machsha. Arab Yehuda, Maisa b'shasus kona, there was a situation once in a time of danger where the Goyim had made a decree that one may not sit in the sukkah. Shivanu Nisarim Shahoy Ben Arba, that we brought boards that were 4 tefachim wide, V'sichachnu Al-Gabim Mepeses, and we covered the porch with them, Yishavnu Tachtem, and we sat under them. So we see that boards of 4 tefachim wide can be used for a sukkah. Obviously, because it's like what Rav holds, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even boards the 4 tefachim wide can be used for a sukkah. Amaloi, so they said, Misham Raya, do you want to bring a proof from that situation? Ain Shasa Kana Raya, there's no proof from a Shasa Sakana. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, what was the Havamina? It was a Shasa Sakana, obviously the regular rules are not in effect. Says the Pnei Yeshua, the Raya they attempted to say was, yes, it was a Shasa Sakana, and we had to do something. But why do we have to bring boards that were 4 tefachim wide? We could have, if boards that are 4 tefachim wide are possible, we should have brought narrower boards. Must be that 4 tefachim wide boards are permissible. They told him, no. You know why they brought 4 tefachim boards? Because they wanted to make it as least obvious as possible that they were sitting in a sukkah, and that's why they brought 4 tefachim wide boards, which are possible just because it was a Shas Sakana. There's another approach explained in this Gemara, is that originally they thought that the gzeira that Chazal made on boards was a gzeira that the heftza of boards, a material, a board that's 4 tefachim wide, is disqualified. If it's disqualified, the shas hasakana cannot make it kosher. So they responded, as we've been saying, that the gzeira's tikra is not a gzeira on the Heftza. It's a gzeira on the Gavra. And a gzeira on the Gavra can be pushed aside b'shas sakana. However, Daruch Lener says, the only time even such a gzeira could be pushed aside, if it's a gzeira that affects all of Klal Yisrael. But if it's a gzeira that only affects individuals, there the halacha is that even b'shas gzeira, we cannot abolish a gzeira. Even b'shas gzeira, we cannot abolish a decree of the chachamim. Now says the Gemara Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel. There's a brayse that corroborates Shmuel's understanding of the machlokes and Rabbi Shmuel. It says in a brayse, Sich ben Nisarim shel Eres, if one covered the sukkah with boards, Sheish ben Arba, Divrei Hakol Psul. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's possible. Ein ben Arba, but if they're not 4 wide, that's when Rameya Paisel, if it's only 3 wide, Rabbi Yehuda Machsher, Rabbi Yehuda holds that such a sukkah is kosher. Umayd Rameya, however Rameya agrees, says the Gemara, Shem Yesh Bein Neser L'Neser, if between each board there is a space, kamali neser, the width of the board, shemeniach pesel v'neim, one could put kosher tzchach between these boards, the ksher and the ksukah is valid. So as Rashi quotes the Gemara that we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Yud Ches, the situation here is where we have a board of 4 tefachim wide, then he installed kosher schach next to it, again with another board, and he keeps on doing this, but in the middle area of the schach, of the sukkah, there are 8 tefachim covered by kosher schach. Since we have 8 tefachim covered by kosher schach, and we know that the minimum size of a kosher sukkah is 7 tefachim, so we have in the middle here a kosher sukkah, and since we have in the middle here, says the Gemara, a kosher sukkah, we can, says Ramei, the rest of the sukkah will not become disqualified. Another halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Shemnasal Nesa, Shirachav Arbat Fachim, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's a board that's 4 tefachim wide, Kshera, the sukkah is still valid, however, in Yisharim Tachtov, we're not allowed to sleep under that board, Vayoshin Tachtov, and somebody sleeps under that board, Lo Yotzi Yidei Chavosa, he has not the Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Rishonim discuss the Halacha L'maisa based on this Gemara. And the Hagos Maimonides writes that the Gzeres Tikra today not only applies to boards that are 4 tefachim wide, it applies to all boards and slats, even narrow ones, because people build roofs with such boards. However, the Ran says that even in the time of the Gemara, many roofs were made with narrow boards, and however, since they're narrow boards, even though they may be used to make a roof, and it's common to make a roof with them, doesn't affect the halacha, because in the times of Chazal, they were also used such narrow boards, and yet our Gemara says that such boards are kosher. The Smak says there's a different reason why not to use boards. He quotes a Rabbeinu Tam that says that schach that doesn't let rain penetrate it is not kosher for schach. Rainproof sukkah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is possible. Says the Smak, using such boards may prevent rain from coming in, and therefore is possible. In fact, the Taz says the same concern applies to straw. He says that even though the Torah says straw is what should be used for sukkah, psoilus gerim v'yakev, we should preferably not use straw, because when it's packed tightly, it prevents the rain from entering the sukkah. Itma, hopchon al tzideyim. If somebody turned the boards on their sides, which is seen in diagram 77, Rav Huna says that the sukkah is possible. Rav Chizda Rav Huna Amr B'Ksheir. Rav Chizda says it's kosher. The Tzofnis Paneach from the Ragged Shover explains what's the basis of the Machloikis, something that we've been saying all along. What is the status of these wide boards? Do these wide boards have an Issa Cheftza, that they are disqualified Tzchach, and therefore even if they turn on the side where they're not 4 tefachim wide, they still remain disqualified Tzchach? Or is it an Issa Gavra, says the Tzofnis Paneach, and if it's an Issa Gavra, therefore it's only an Issa Gavra when they're on the four tefach wide side, otherwise it's kosher. Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman came to Sura. Ola gabei Rav Chizda v'Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Chizda and Rabbi Rav Huna came to see him. Amrilei, hofchan al tzidei mahu. If somebody turned the boards on the sides where it's not 4 tefachim wide, what's the halacha? Amrilei p'sula. So they said it's possible. Nasna k'shvudna shel matchis, because such boards are treated like metal boards that are inherently disqualified as schach. Amrilei Rav Huna. So Rav Huna, when he heard what Rav Nachman said, Lo amr lechu amri kavasei. Did I not tell you that he's going to agree with me? Amrilei. So they responded to him, Omi amr l'man tama. Did you give us a reasoning to like kablina minei, that we weren't to accept what you said? Amr lechu mi be'isim inayu. tam v'lerem lechu? Did you ask me for a reason that I didn't give it to you? If you would have asked me the reasoning for my psak, I would have given it to you, and you should have agreed. Lema masayle. So the Gemara says perhaps the following brayse supports this psak, that the dalet tefachim board, even turned on its side, remains disqualified. A sukkah that isn't large enough to hold Rosh Rubi Shulchanoi, or there's a breach on one of the walls that's so large that a gun goat could bolt through, or we put on top of it a board that's 4 tefachim wide, even though he only put 3 tefachim of the board on the sukkah psula. What does the last case of this price refer to? Doesn't refer to laf kigon shavchan al tzedayim. The case that we're referring to, diagram 77, we turn the 4 tefachim boards on the side, and the brayse is telling us that such is a disqualified sukkah. Says the Gemara, loy, that's not the case. Hakamai skinan. The case was kigon da ancha pumid the metalalosai, where he put the board over the entrance of the sukkah in such a way, and this is shown in diagram 79. The ayot tlos legaf, that 3 tefachim of the schach was within the sukkah, the chad lebar, and 1 tefach extended beyond the sukkah. The havelay pesla yoytzim a sukkah. This is a schach that extends beyond the sukkah. The kapesla yoytzim a sukkah, needn't kasukkah. Any schach that extends beyond the sukkah is treated like the sukkah. And as the Rishonim explained, generally this rule teaches us a kula, that the schach that extends beyond the walls is still considered a sukkah, and one could sit under that schach and be mekayim mitzvah sukkah. However, in our case, we have a situation where the sukkah has 3 walls, as the diagram shows, and it's also a sukkah that is of minimum size. Only 3 tefachim of the board's width actually cover the sukkah, since it's not 4 tefachim wide. It doesn't disqualify the sukkah. However, since we're dealing of a minimum size sukkah, the Gemara is teaching us that this extra tefach does combine with the 3 tefachim that are actually covering the sukkah to make it be considered like I have 4 tefachim of posel schach, and that's why this sukkah is disqualified. We have no proof to what the halacha will be to hafchan al tzideyem if the sukkah is posel or kosher.